Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Job this morning, Job chapter 1. Could anyone tell me today how many times you have ever sung Amazing Grace? I just have to say, no way. I just, for one time, remember out of many times we were coming home from Uganda, and we were in the airport there in London, and the PA system was playing music, and some disc jockey, he said, you know, there's a hot new song out, and he said, I want to play it for you. He said, a lot of people are requesting this, and etc. And you could tell he was very sincere to what he was saying. And I thought, well, what is this hot song? I just happened to be where I had a speaker over my head. And they start singing Amazing Grace. Oh, dear Lord. First time he might have heard it, but how many times have I heard it? And how many times have you heard it? You know, a dilemma that a pastor, it's probably a can of worms of our own making, but you know, when I enjoy a song, I mean, anyone that sings knows they're subject to me wanting to hear certain things more than once. Amen. And, you know, sometimes we pastors, we're naive enough to think people got it all the first time we brought it. The further I go, the more I realize it's only a certain percentage of people in any given service that really hear what you're totally saying. They get a little bit, a little piece, whatever. But I'm into what I do. I'm into what I preach. If I'm preaching something, it's the greatest thing in the world, and it's already touched my heart, and I want it to touch the heart of someone else. And let me tell you something, friend. There's nothing like the good news of God's Word. And time after time, I read things and see things that I think, I've read this so many times, but did I really read it? The Word of God is so unique. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're in a day when you need some Word every day. You get the bad news every day. You get the fake news every day. You get the terror news every day. You get the political news every day. But we need the good news of God's Word every day. You need it. It just keeps you headed in the right direction. And the book of Job was uniquely given to us by God Almighty. God had a purpose in this book. It just has a whole different flavor and cast than probably any other portion of God's Word. Because the Bible said in Job, the first chapter, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, that doesn't mean that he was like God, but he was a man who desired to do the right thing. He obviously treated other people right. He treated his family right. He had a good mind for business and took care of business. And he was a very successful and a very rich man. And it doesn't mean that he couldn't do wrong. It's not that. But the Bible said, here's a man that really desired to do the right thing. And if you desire to do the right thing, you can't do it without the Word of God. Man or woman, boy or girl, you can't do what you need to do and I need to do in life without the help of God's Word, the direction of God's Word. This is the manufacturer's handbook. And you know, Satan hates the people of God. He always has. He always has. And there was a day in verse 6 when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You say, explain that to me. I really can't. I don't understand that. I just read it, okay? And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And he's still going to and fro and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? That's smart aleck. You just want to slap him on both sides of his face. Haven't you made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath? You've already missed several good chances to shout here this morning. Amen. And you've blessed the work of his hands? Well, I guess so. I guess he, and his substance is increased in the land. He's not losing, but he's gaining. He's multiplying. But Satan said, Put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And all kind of things began to happen. And Satan began to steal, kill, and destroy. There was a storm. There was his livestock and his children. And after all of these things happened, in this beginning of the downward spiral and by the way, the period of Job did not take place in less than 1 year. Could have been 2 years. There are different ideas about this. But thank God, remember this. Whatever you're going through, it's time limited. It's not forever. And you need to remember that. Satan will say it's forever. But when all of this happened and all of these things that had been so prominent in Job's life began to disappear, I want you to notice verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. We'll talk about that in a few moments. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then, of course, there was another session in chapter 2, in verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in your hand, but save his life. Now you say, why is this so important? You've heard the saying, they don't make them like that anymore. I want to make a statement I've never made in a message anywhere about Job or to any group of people. There are some Jobs in this room this morning. And there's a little department in my heart. I've met so many like that. It's so fascinating to meet someone and know someone who is great, but they don't know it. I think of Mike Magnuson, who was a missionary that we supported with Mike and his wife, and we went to the little place where they were in Colorado, and he was building luxury homes, and they got our video teachings and invited us to come to Winter Park. And I thought, well, I didn't know there were any Christians in Winter Park. We'd just go there and ski. All I could see was hippies and dogs and Volkswagens and ski slopes, you know. But we went to Winter Park, and I met a quiet giant. He didn't say a lot. But the more I knew Mike, the more I appreciated Mike. And then Mike and Maureen decided that God had called them to Grenada. And they went to Grenada right after President Reagan liberated that island. We were there just 6 months after the U.S. forces liberated that island. I always found it quite humorous, but Congress, I believe it was, they said, well, President Reagan, why didn't you tell us you were going to go to war with Grenada? He said, because I wanted to win it. In 3 days' time, they took the island back from the Chinese communists and Cuban communists. 3 days' time. 3 days' time. And set that island free. And we were there. And they said, Mike, he said, we believe that the Chinese communists and the Cuban communists have so captivated the minds of the young people. We want to go and evangelize the young people who had been young communists. And they did. And it's amazing how God gave them favor on that island of Grenada. And so many of those young people that communism had infected their life. Just to see the power of the gospel in their life. Well, of course, you know the story of that. Mike called and said, I believe God wants us to have a Christian television station in Grenada. And I thought, man, this guy's lost it. Because he had never built a Christian television station. And we certainly, that wasn't my background or education or whatever. But anyway, long and short of it was, God gave him the genius, and by the help of TBN, and it's a long story, but we were on the air, and it's still on the air there in Grenada, television station. And then a Ugandan engineer came from Uganda and found Christ through our television station. And Mike contacted me. He said, I have a Ugandan who wants us to come to Uganda and build a television station. I said, my Lord, man, we've already done the impossible in Grenada. He said, I just believe God's in it, Pastor. Would you just pray about it? And I did, and we called Dr. Paul Crouch, who's with the Lord, and they said, you can't get a permit for that. We've tried. And 2 weeks later, we got a call back from Mike, and the engineer had said, I've returned to Uganda. I have the permit to build a Christian television station in Kampala, Uganda, the capital city. And I mean, my head's still spinning. You know, this church has done the impossible for all these years. When I say the God of this church has done the impossible, it was a unique way that God worked all of that out. But Mike, God gave him the genius to put all that together, and that station is, we'll be going back in about 3 weeks to celebrate 20 years on the air, 24 hours a day, 50,000 watt television station. And I know in a way that's, you say, where are you going in Job on that? Well, but here's the thing. Then Mike, of course, had the fastest growing brain cancer that could come. And he's with the Lord today. And I thought, how many people can look down 24/7 from heaven and see something you gave into and built into and were faithful to accomplish? Amen. And the president told us, he said, Lighthouse Television has had such a great effect on the rebuilding of this nation. Well, that's enough for that story, but I was talking about greatness. Mike never saw himself as a great person. He never saw himself as, I mean, it was just, he looked to me as a spiritual father. He came out of Zen Buddhism. His own father was not an example to him, and he looked to me as his spiritual father. But I've thought so many times about that man and the conversations we had. He was great, and he didn't know it. He didn't have a clue. All he knew was, I've been saved. God's changed my life. And I want to just give all of it, the rest of it, for the glory of God. Well, I think Job was that way. I believe he was a great man. And he really didn't understand that. But the truth that I'm trying to work to, and let's just nail it here this morning. What if, and I believe that that if is applicable probably to many people. Who are they? I don't know. Only God knows the heart. But what if Satan comes to God and he said, you know, calling your name or any name here this morning, you know them? Yeah. I tell you what, you take away their blessing. You take away what seems to have happened good to them. You give them some adversity and they'll curse God. They'll turn from God. You know, it's a whole lot easier sometimes we think to serve God when things are going our way. But when things aren't going your way, that's where real faith in God comes in. To hold steady between the times of blessing in serving God. And God laid it all on the line. He said, all right, Satan, there's only one way I would do what you suggest. I'm going to prove something to you. I'm going to prove that there's a man that I have blessed. And if that blessing seems to have been withdrawn, he's not going to turn from me or turn away from me. He's going to serve me if it goes down to the ash heap, if it goes down to boils, and if it goes down to everything in his life going wrong. And why did I say that? I really don't know. I didn't intend to go in that direction here for a few moments. But I just want to tell you, we all go through some stuff. Every believer goes through some stuff. We're blessed, exceedingly blessed, greatly blessed. This church preaches blessing. Our God said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, the Bible speaks of us as being blessed people. But some days things just aren't blessed, it seems. Some days, some weeks, maybe some year or years. What are you going to do then? But let me tell you something. We're not going to be on this earth eternally. We're all going to stand before God. I thought about 58 lives in Las Vegas. You know, you can say whatever you want to say about God, but 1 second after you take your last breath, you'll know the truth about everything. You'll know the truth about God. You'll know the truth about heaven. You'll know the truth about hell. You'll know. I mean, 1 second after you stop living and breathing, you'll know the truth. You'll know the truth. And so it's important. I was just thinking of Oral Roberts, of course, who raised up Oral Roberts University. But in my day and time in early ministry, he was known as a healing, more so known as a healing evangelist at that time. And traveled with the tents and was on television, and God used him to champion the understanding in the body of Christ that God is a good God and Satan's a bad devil. But two of his children, one was killed in an air crash, and another one, unfortunate lifestyle. Great man, but had some tragedy in his life. I think of my friend Don Clowers over in Dallas. his own son working under the platform in building a new church, contacted electricity. His son was electrocuted under the platform that he had to preach on for the next few years. You know, we need to thank God things are as good as they are and be appreciative of the things of God. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, his own daughter died in his arms. And he said, you know, it's hard to explain how you pray for other people's children and you see miracles and yet your own child dies in your arms. You know, I'm not going to stay there. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. I think of, it's not just a matter of life and death, but things that happen in life. Stuff happens to all of us. And you may be in the middle of some negative stuff. I've got good news for you this morning. Believe me, just hold steady. I have some good news for you this morning. We all go through some stuff. I mean, it's not all just running the aisles and, you know, it's not all just shouting and screaming and enjoying the high praises of God. There's days that you hang on with your fingernails and you believe God. So, but notice this, and I'm just going to bring you, because it's in my heart. I ministered some along these lines. I ministered this last week in Colorado, and so many people came and said that message set me free. But when tragedy struck, Job worshiped God. When tragedy struck, Job, the very word, worshiped God. You don't always worship God when you feel like it. You don't always worship God when it's the greatest day of your life. But worship God. Worship God. Give God glory. And although his theology was wrong on this occasion, he said, you know, God, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And some of these recording artists, they grab some of the strangest phrases. You know, my whole prayer life is raindrops. Thank God I pastor a church that knows better than that. Yeah, I just kept on to praying, and I got some raindrops, you know. Okay, moving on here. But although his theology was wrong, Job blessed, not cursed, the name of the Lord. I believe that's verse 21. He blessed, not cursed, the name of the Lord. So when tragedy struck, when things went totally away instead of coming to him, Job worshiped God and Job blessed God. If you have to just sit there and grit your teeth and say, devil, just take a hike, I praise God anyhow. I give God glory anyhow. Fire your best shot, but I praise my God. I glorify my God. Amen. This is, and you know, every believer needs a rubber stamp that says temporary. Just put a big old temporary stamp on some stuff you may be going through. It's not permanent. Amen. Well, Job had some victory discoveries. Job discovered that every day is not the same. Every day is not the same. I mean, people look at you, oh, it's just wonderful. You just live on a glory cloud all the time. Well, I wish. But I have days when I very much walk by faith just like you do. In fact, every day is a faith day. Every day is not the same. One thing I've never understood, I mean, I remember I was in Africa preaching And Dr. Collins' church there that was raised up as a result of our television station, 10,000 seat auditorium paid for in Kampala, Uganda. And I'll tell you, it was one of those times when in preaching, I got so far out, it was hard to get back. I can't explain that, but when the anointing of God is on you, and you sense that intimate presence of God, it's just like being, almost like Philip, you feel like you're just being called away. And then come home and walk right into some stuff. I mean, people that, as far as they're concerned, you're chopped liver, you know what I mean? And just crazy stuff. Crazy. So every day is not the same. You may walk in a glory cloud and then have to deal with earthly crud, you know. That's the way life can be. But every day is not the same. But God is the same. Life is not always fair, but God is. God is fair. He's a good God. Well, I gave, I tithe, I attended church, I did this, I did that. And look at this. Hey, wait, whoa. God is fair. God's a good God. That's one great faith discovery that he made, that every day is not the same, but God is the same. Another victory discovery that Job made, he found out sometimes you have to survive your own friends. You can get mad at me if you want to, but I'll tell you, sometimes your family can be your worst enemies. Spiritually, they're not theologians. They don't even know what time of day it is spiritually. And they're trying to tell you what to do. You do what God says to do. You do what the Word says to do. You serve God. Oh my, we won't dwell there long. I didn't get much of a shout. I made a statement in Tampa, Florida. I said, some people would miss the rapture for a family reunion. People that don't give a rip with you. Let's go to the next point here. Job discovered that fear is a costly thief. Fear is a costly thief. He said, the thing that I feared. That doesn't mean that he was mad at God or against God. That was just one of the ways that things needed to be stronger in his own spiritual life. The thing that I feared. And it gives all of us a warning. Watch what you walk around fearing. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Fear is a fear that one or more of God's promises won't work for you. Amen. Fear is a costly thief. Don't let it ruin or rule your life. Another faith discovery of Job is the powerful seeds of good words. Don't you just love to be around people that speak encouraging words? Amen. Praise God. I love this revelation. It hasn't been that long that really this has been made real to my heart. But in Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, one translation of those verses said, your words have put men back on their feet again. Your words. Our words can encourage or discourage. Our words can pick up or put down. Words. Don't let the words of people ruin your day. Believe the word of God. Another faith discovery that Job made was that you can pour your troubled heart out to God and God still loves you. Doesn't happen all the time. It just happened on that particular situation. I've given my life to help people. I've given my life to help not only church people, I've given my life to help ministers. financially and verbally, and there's times I've traveled great distances just to spend a few hours with someone to minister to encourage them. But going through a very dark hour, we were downtown, looked like we were going to lose our property. I tried to talk to three or four people that I had helped in a tremendous way, and they just blew it off. I thought, my God, you ain't great. But you see, you learn to do what you do is unto the Lord. I want to say that one more time. Do all that you do in the name of the Lord. And if you do it as unto Him, then it's going to be all right. Because we as people, I've failed, you've failed. We all can fail. But do what you do in the name of the Lord. And don't get your feathers all up in the air about something and get offended. It seems like the whole world's offended at something. From the sports world or whatever. I mean, it's just a spirit of offense that is in the world. Forget it. Just flush it down. It's not worth it. It's not worth your emotions. It's not worth your thought life. It's not worth losing sleep over. But Job said, my soul is weary of my life, and you've granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Hallelujah. Thy visitation. I believe that was Job the 10th chapter, around verse 12. Thy visitation. See, that's why, I mean, I work here, but I love to get to church. I love to be in the presence of the Lord. Because there's just nothing like in His presence. It's not that everything the preacher says is making a direct hit, but you know, there's times I've just been sitting over these years, just sitting this last week. The thing I love about the Colorado Conference is all the ministers stay there to listen to one another. I've been in situations where everybody flies in, flies out. No one knows what the last person said. It's not a team deal. It's a preaching deal. But it's wonderful that whether I'm preaching or not, and the same here in this church. We have a good word in this church. Whether I'm preaching or not, I just love church. I love to sit in God's presence. I love to praise and worship the Lord. I love to hear the word. And you know, you may go to a service and only one thing that happens in that whole service rings your spiritual bell. But it's worth it. And you go home a different way because one godly thought can change your life. One godly thought can turn everything around for you. It sure can. But you know, Job also discovered in Job 19, Job discovered that God is alive. And no matter what happens, I shall see God. You know, I've heard songs through the years, you know, about a mansion in glory or something of that nature. Well, praise God, that'll be good. But you know, the big thing in heaven for me is I'm going to see Him face to face. I'm going to see Him face to face. The mansion's nice. Turbocharged chariots are nice, you know. All that stuff is nice. But the best thing about heaven is we're going to see Him face to face. Woo! We're going to see Him. We sing about Him. We preach about Him. We testify about Him. But oh, we're going to see Him face to face. Praise God. Well, those of you that remember Paul Harvey, he on his little faith, I say faith, and a lot, I did hear a lot of faith through Paul Harvey, but he had said, now the rest of the story. Now the rest of the story. Well, what happened? Well, I've had a trying week. But let me tell you the rest of the story. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Job 42. I know as a little boy growing up in church, I heard that. I don't know why I heard that so much. Well, you know, they're just as poor as Job's turkey. I believe Job's turkeys were famous worldwide. Have you ever heard that? They're just poor as Job's turkey. I could just see an old turkey skin and bones, you know, limping on one leg. Oh, no, Jesus. Poor as Job's turkey. What a pitiful little animal that must have been, you know. But you know, in the 42nd chapter of Job, hang in there, saints. I had a word from God Tuesday night. God said, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Yeah, Job went through some tough stuff. But go, you can tell anyone that has, of course, I don't really hear that nowadays, but anyone that you say, well, poor is Job's turkey, you could always tell they'd never read the last chapter of Job. You know, some people just read a chapter of a book. They don't really understand what that book's all about. Read the last chapter. Read the 42nd chapter of Job. And if that doesn't make you shout, if that doesn't ignite your fire, your wood's wet, I'm telling you. Job 42. Now the rest of the story. I got a word for you if you'll just receive it in faith. We're all headed for victory. We're headed for victory. Hallelujah. The rest of the story in Job chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I wrote it in my Bible like this, now I know. You know, it's amazing. I don't know, it seems like I've been conscious of that lately. There's so many things that all of a sudden I know that I never did know. There's things I understand that I even preached and I didn't quite understand. You know, you never know what someone else is going through. You don't. You think you do. You may think you do. But Job said, now I know. I know. You know, when you've been through some stuff, and you've held steady, may not have done it perfectly, may not have done everything storybook right, but you didn't quit. And you come out on the high side of victory. You too can say, now, I know. I know. Old song we used to remember singing around church, we'll understand it better by and by. Now I know. And in essence, what Job was saying there was, God and His Word are right about everything. God and His Word are right about everything. Right about everything. I settled something years ago. You know, I've had to cling to that with our youngest daughter's situation. And I see little daddy responses, and she's my little evangelist. God was beginning to use her in a tremendous way. And the enemy moved in. You know, you don't understand everything. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. I don't have the answer for a lot of things. But I know one thing. God and His Word are right about everything. And we are more than conquerors. And he didn't promise that we'd understand everything about life, but he did promise that he'd be faithful. God is faithful. God, my wife has championed that phrase through the years. Bob, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Oh, let me speed up here. I just need to finish three or four or five thoughts here. My thought life is my control center. My thought life, not my friend or my relative or the news media. My thought life is my control center. Every airport has a control center, control tower. And if that tower says don't land, you better not land. Their final authority, is that right? If the control tower, but I don't understand. I know I can, don't land. If you do, you're in trouble. But your thought life is your control tower. Let me give you two verses. One from the Old Testament is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And the other is Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. And both of them, you know, I've met my share of people who said, no one's going to tell me what to think. Well, be a dummy and slam against the wall. But God's word tells you what to think. When you understand it, when you don't understand it. God's word tells you what to think. Now my flesh wants to hurry up and satisfy your fried chicken. But my spirit man says, no, just finish it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 said, this book of the law shall not depart. The word of God. If you can read the newspaper, you can read the Bible. If you can read anything throughout your day, you can read the word. If you can sleep, you need to read the word. If you can eat, you need to read the word. I didn't say read 16, 18 chapters, but read a chapter at least. This book of the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to what is written in the word. For then shalt, this is so simple. I mean, read it until it blows you out of the water. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Now let me ask you a quick, smart, dumb question. How many vote I'd rather be prosperous and successful than in poverty and a failure? I'd lift both hands if I didn't have one on a microphone right now. So the word of God said, honor God's word and you, God make me prosper. God says, you do it. You read it. You believe it. You read it. You believe it. And you can make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. So many people have bad success. Their success is bad. I don't know how to say it any other way. Praise God. And then Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? A little shady. Is it pure? Lovely? Of good report? I think it was Paul Harvey again. I don't know why I'm referring to him so much this morning, but I always enjoyed hearing him when he was on the radio. He said, you know, lie be halfway around the world before truth get out of bed and put his shoes on. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, find something right about it. If there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. God's word tells you what to think. That's not Pastor Nichols. I'm just reading. I didn't write the book. I just preach it. I read it. Think on these things. If you think like God, you have God results. Hallelujah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. Ooh, that's a message in itself. But you know, God is the God of the double. God is the God of the double. And the best is really yet to come. There's one thing about Job, he didn't quit. Quitters never win, winners never quit. That's simple, isn't it? It's true. Quitters never win, winners never quit. Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, after, 200 failures, they said, Don't you feel like a failure? He said, no, I just know 200 ways it won't work. And he found what does work, and we've been enjoying it ever since then. Just hang in there with what works. The best really is yet to come. He did not quit. And you know, the Bible tells us that he had twice as much. Twice as much as he had before. Now, I mean, the guy's filthy rich before, but he winds up with twice as much as he had before all of this happened. He wound up with a long life. He lived 140 years after this took place. 140 years. Now, I don't have a scripture for this, but I really believe this with all of my heart. His first batch of kids didn't do a good job of serving God. And unfortunately, all children don't act like their parents. But I believe this round, his kids, I believe, serve God. Amen. I don't have the explanation for that. Maybe he knew how to pray in a better way. I don't know. I don't know. But I believe his kids were serving God. And then the Bible said that Job died old and full. He died old and he died full. You can just take that any way you want to take it. It's good either way. Praise God. Old and full. And then he said, you know, I've heard about God by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Old and full, satisfied. Psalms 91 said that God would lengthen our days if we believe for that. Amen. I've believed God for that. I'm long life in my family. I have a lot yet to do. A lot of dreams, a lot of visions, a lot of things that are still in my heart. And I went through some rough time with some of the, I never was a hospital person, but all of a sudden I found myself with about 300 miles on this body of mine and had to have some surgeries. But you know what? Praise God. These last two rounds out, the fire's still there. The anointing's still there. God's still there. The Holy Ghost is still there. And I'll tell you, God's not through until you're through. If you're through, you might as well call Laura Land or Greenwood or wherever your final resting place will be. But God's not through until you're through. Hallelujah. I mean, he's taken all this time to teach you what you know. You know, it takes a while to get smart enough to know how to live. You have to live a while to have enough sense to know how to live. Just learn not to sweat the small stuff, you know. Now, I'm still learning in that department, but I know a lot more than I used to know. Praise God. The thing that I'm trying to say is, God found a man. Or we could also say this morning that God found a woman. That Satan said, they just serve you for stuff, Lord, for things. But you take away their stuff, they won't serve you. What if God trusted or is trusting you like he trusted Job? I have a man. I have a woman. I have a young lady. I have a young man. Have you considered them? Well, you take away their blessing and they won't serve you. You know, I've seen that in so many people's lives. Just a few things being withdrawn for whatever reason, and they get mad, sour, bitter, offended, and they're all over the Metroplex area. Biggest revival that could happen in the Metroplex is offended people getting back to God and humbling their hearts before God. Amen. Biggest revival in the Metroplex. Amen. Because offense is the legal drug of the believer, you know. You don't have to have a doctor's prescription. You can just pick it up anywhere you want. You can pick it up in church. Amen. Praise God. But the thing that I want to share with you, that God brought Job through on the high side of victory. And when we've been there 10,000 years, so what? Right? When we've been there 10 million years, so what? Just give it your best shot every day. Love God, serve God. Thank God for his goodness. God's been so good to all of us. Praise God, praise God. You got here some way today. There was a desire in your heart to come to the house of God. You have a Bible in your hand or in your heart or in your house. Should be in all three. And you're born again, and the majority of your spirit filled. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to have... When Job lost everything, he worshiped God. When Job lost everything, he praised God. Oh, let's stand and praise God this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah.